Assalamu alaikum. If wife has obligation to take care of husband's family member or parent, then same way husband should take care of wife's parents or respect the parent. Isn't when the parents does not have any big son or anybody to take care of them. So the situation that women's husband should take care that parent or support to that family, can you explain the issue? Please, I need to know for my family. This is sisters. It's a very good question. I think it's very good. It's the right of the husband on the sister, on his wife, is to serve him and to respect him. And it is his right on her to respect his parents, but not to serve them. There is a difference between the right and the etiquette. It is his right upon her and her right upon him that to respect the family of each other. And this is the nature of any Muslim. If you don't respect the family of your husband, whom are you going to respect? Tell me, where should we apply respect? In our dreams? If we don't respect each other, husband and wife and the family of the husband and the family of the wife, and our brothers here and our sisters there, whom should we respect? So the word respect has no meaning, because we cannot apply it in our life. Where should we apply this word? Of course. So this issue of respect, it should be there. But the issue of serving, it's not. But here again comes the issue of mercy. Here comes the issue of mercy. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved a prostitute from hellfire that helped a dog and gave some water to this dog. She saw a thirsty dog and she went down to the river and put some water in her shoes and let the dog drink, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her sins because she helped a dog. And we don't want to help Muslims? And we still have this question, which is so obvious. Where should we use our mercy if we don't use it with our families? If we don't use it with the parents of our families, of our father, or of our spouses, where should we use it? And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a woman in hellfire because she kept the cat imprisoned. She didn't feed the cat and she didn't let the cat go free. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put her in hellfire. So this is the issue of mercy that we need. These questions really, although they are very good questions, but they are taken for granted as Muslims. The issues of mercy. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ used to help his neighbors who were not Muslims. Do you know that the right of your neighbor upon you, if you are a rich person and he's a poor person, and you get some food, and there's a smell for this food, and the neighbor would smell it, and he is incapable of buying it, you have to give him part of it. This is his right upon you, a neighbor. So we're talking about family members. So this is where we should put. It's not a must for a husband to force his wife. It's not his right to force her to serve his family. No. But this issue should come from the sister, from inside, not from outside. And the more Islam we have in our hearts, the more we know about how to serve other Muslims, inshallah, whether they are our relatives or not. I hope I answered this question. What does a parent do if they try their best to raise their child according to Islam, but they still go astray? Yes, if they go astray for these reasons, we are doing things at home, and we are doing them, we are putting them in some schools, yes, and we are putting them in an environment that there are other environments better than it. If you know that this place is more dangerous than place, regardless of the name of the place, take your children from here and put them there. If you know that this country is better than this country, if you know that this state is better than this state, if you know that the north part has an Islamic school and the south part doesn't have an Islamic school, you have to move there. But you, here comes the financial issues. Oh, I'll spend an hour going and spend an hour coming, and I will use a lot of gas, and I'll use a lot of these things, so you don't want to lose the house that you are in, so you don't want to do that. And then after some time, you will find your kid is going astray day after day. And you reach a point that you cannot do it. I was in Australia last year, and I was there 17 years ago, and I still remember my experience with the imam there since 17 years. We discussed the issue with the imam. We asked him, what is the most critical situation that you confronted? He said that the situation yesterday, a person came to me crying, saying that, please save me, my daughter is going to marry a non-Muslim. And the imam asked the parent, how long have you been in Australia? He said, 16 years. How many times have you come to the mosque? He said that this is the only time that I came. And the imam said, I can do nothing. It's too late. We wait and wait and wait and wait, right? And then we try to find a solution. Of course, there is no solution. But we have things to do as early as possible every day that passes, and we don't build up the Islamic identity of our kids. We don't teach them اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق from the beginning, and we give them Islamic content, not cultural content. We will lose our kids. Yes, these are some examples, and after all, yes, guidance is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but He will ask us, because the Prophet said كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. And here is an important lesson, by the way. Scholars say, if you live in a non-Islamic country, well, this is very important, and you don't fulfill these three conditions, there is no place for you. These three conditions. You maintain your religion. If you find yourself missing Salat al-Jum'ah because you are working on a project that's very important, more important than Salat al-Jum'ah, and then Allah, you have to quit. If you find that you cannot maintain the religion of your kids, you have to quit because of the environment, unless the other place is worse. And the third thing, if you are not involved in da'wah. So these are three things that you have to do in order to have a legal Islamic green card to stay in this country. These are the three conditions. To keep your religion without being affected, to keep the religion of your kids, and to be involved in da'wah. And being involved in da'wah does not necessarily mean that you come here and you give speeches. No, there are hundreds of ways of making da'wah. You can buy some flyers and some books and distribute them. This is being involved in da'wah. Use your money and make da'wah. You can participate in organizing this program. You can tape, retape some tapes and distribute them. Hundreds and thousands of ways of being involved in da'wah. But if you're not involved in da'wah, if you are just staying here to get sustenance and risk and increase the money, you don't have an Islamic green card. So we have to address issues very seriously. Yes, this is some of the things. That's why we have these questions like this. Of course, we might be in other places. We might be in Mecca even. And our kids might deviate, yes. But at least it's not because of our deeds. It's not because of our choice. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us of things that we have selected. Please explain the role of in-laws in a marriage. Yes, really, this is a very critical, sensitive issue. Lots of in-laws get themselves involved in the marriage of their kids. And they go into the houses and they try to explore everything, sometimes out of love, sometimes out of guidance. But they don't empathize with the wife or the husband. You should think as they think. The more you are away, the better the situation for them, unless they need your consultation. So keep yourself away as much as you can if your help is not requested. This is for all people who have kids who are married. So please keep yourself away, because this disturbs the family life of your kids. Leave them for first time to solve their problems. They will solve it, inshallah. When they resort to you, you can get inside and present advices. But usually, the wife of the husband feels that there is a lot of pressure on her from her mother-in-law or father-in-law. Usually it is the mother-in-law. Yes. Usually. Yes, because the mother-in-law usually loves her son very much. Yes. It's not because of something else. But we want, as I said, that love in itself is not enough. We have to guide our hearts and we have to control our emotions and situations. Okay. What can a brother do when education becomes a barrier for marriage? Commanded by parents, how can he explain this to his parents? I don't understand the question. For example, if he is not accepted because of his education, if this is the question, of course, it's the right of the woman to select her husband and to see whether he is educated or not. But what I'm saying is, education and degrees is not everything. I think none of the companions, graduated from Harvard or Rice University, yes. But the problem is the effect of the society. And again, this is the right of the sister. It is her right that she would request one of the same caliber. Yes, and this is, in fact, some scholars say that this is one of the conditions of marriage. It is her right. We cannot deprive her of this marriage. She can request him to be educated, but I'm afraid when he is educated, he would select another one. Okay. Another question: if you have already said yes to a person, then is there any way that you can talk to him through email or any other source? If you said yes to a person in a legal way, that means you accepted him as a husband when he proposed to you, you still can do this, inshallah, being sure that you don't exaggerate this issue. You can all the time, if he's your fiancé, he can come to the house and sit with you and talk to you with the presence of anyone else. And in this way you can communicate, but this should not continue for long time. As I said, wallahi, what you are dreaming of, all of us can act and can play the roles. And all of us, when we want to marry, we have the best decoration that we have and the best suit that we have. Yes, so we play the role very nice. And after marriage, when we take off these clothes, we appear in our right picture. So both men and women do this job very well. Yes, some of them can play it better than others, but this is the reality, yes. It's the more you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the more you are sincere to Allah, Allah will not fail you. And then take the precautions, ask about the brother. Yes, as much questions as you have. And then depend upon Allah and accept Him. And accept Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, will guide you and will make you lead a beautiful life. Don't think by these discussions you will get more. In fact, the more you know about a person, the more you hate him. Unlike Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we mentioned this many times. Yes. The more you know about the person, the more you find his weaknesses. This is something natural. All of us. Yes. When I'm sitting here, I'm trying to use the best words and I'm trying to behave in the best way. But you don't see me in other situations and how I behave. So you have to know this. So just trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to develop this relationship with Allah. Trust Allah. If you are a good person and you heard that there's a good person is coming to you, right? And he has good religion and he has good manners, that's what's requested. What else do you want? What else do you want? But because of the lack of the iman that we have, we don't trust Allah and we get tired of things very quickly. And don't ever imagine that you are going to marry an angel. You are not. You are going to marry a human being who has his errors, who has his weaknesses, and the same thing with the sister. Yeah. Oh, not just to get to know him better. This word, to get to know him better, it does not end. It doesn't have an end. It doesn't have an end. Okay, if you know him better, what would happen? Well, you don't like him, so kick him out. Again, you take another one, and you know him, and you kick him out. And the third one, and you'll still spend all your lifetime, kicking them out. Yeah. Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu. Yes, women didn't want to marry him. He's the second Khalifa, the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he married, and one of his wives was such a strong wife, yes, that used to come and catch him from his neck. See, Umar ibn Khattab, the figure that even the shaitan becomes fearful of Umar ibn Khattab, his wife didn't fear him. Be realistic, and what does to know him better mean? I said that these are, as I said, that un-Islamic concepts that we got from the societies that we live in, even back home in our society. But these are un-Islamic concepts. What do you mean, but you know him better? To what level? Now you know him better, and you know that this is his weakness and this is his weakness. You're going to reject this, and then you're going to reject the other one and the third one. Yes. Okay. Just as I said, that you spend, of course, this is your right. When somebody proposes to you, take your time, say that we're going to give you an answer after a month, after two, specify the time. Spend this time to ask about this person, about his family, about his friends, what do they say about him. This is the time where you need to make research. It's very important. Don't just marry a person blindly. No, you need to know the person by all these ways. But not directly by yourself. Yeah. Yes, if you come to a friend who is close to... Yeah. If you tell me who are the friends of this person, I would know him. Right? The friends of a drunkard will be what? Drunkards. The friends of a person who comes to pray in the mosque five times will be good people and righteous people. So if you know those people, and they would say that Rasulullah ﷺ said that if you see a person coming to the mosque, yes, praying to the mosque regularly, فَاشْهَدُوا لَهُ بِالْإِيمَانِ, bear witness that he's a mu'min. That's it. Yeah. Don't make things complicated and don't confuse these cultural issues. I hope this tiny letter would be last question. The boss is commanding me after putting me into trouble. Yeah. How can parents and kids
have a better understanding
between them? How do you suggest that relationship would be built? Again, from the early days, we have to work on ourselves, change ourselves. The habit of being away from home. The sisters sometimes put a lot of pressure on their husbands to buy this and to buy this and to buy this and to buy this. And the brother has to work like a machine day and night to fulfill all these requirements.
And then they come to and tell him that you don't stay some time with us. They complain from the other. So we have to really to balance this. Yes, and it's enough for brothers to be wise, not to be tempted by the shaitan in the issue of increasing the money that we have. Yes, because this is the biggest fitna that we have in dunya. After the fitna of nisa, women, this is the fitna of money. Yeah, the fitna of money. And this is something natural. As Prophet Muhammad said, if you have a valley, whole valley full of gold, you want it to be two valleys. All of us. And that's why we have to resist this temptation of getting more money. And if we do this from the beginning, we will have more time to sit with our spouses. And if we have more time to sit with our spouses, there will be more communication with each other and more understanding. So when the first kid would come, we would be able to handle this issue as early as possible. And we would. But if a parent, a husband and wife is working and they are giving their kids to a babysitter to raise the child, so it becomes the son of this babysitter. Whatever she wants to teach, she will teach. You see how things are connected with each other. Things are connected with each other. And when you come to the sister and you say that, why do you work? Just she wants to work. And this is, of course, un-Islamic. This is unacceptable, Islamically. If you don't need to work, if you are sponsored, you're not allowed to work. Just work for the sake of working is an Islamic concept. Who is going to raise up the kids? And I still remember the first day when I married my wife and told her, look, this is a deal. This is a deal between you and me. Either you work and you sponsor me and I stay at home. And I love to be sponsored, stay at home. Work 2 hours and write and author books. I love to be sponsored. If you can, any one of you can sponsor me, I love to be sponsored. Yes, why not? Sponsor me. If you want to sponsor me, I'm willing to stay at home. If you want me to sponsor you, so you stay at home and raise the kids. So you take the option. Of course, I said that the condition is that you spend on me the same amount I spend upon you. A deal? She said, deal, I cannot do this, so I will stay at home. And she said, alhamdulillah, she stayed home and she's doing a wonderful job with 5 kids. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her now. And she has much suffering with, I have a handicapped child. Yes, she's doing this job, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward her. And she will die and I will die and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah hopefully will reward us with Jannah. This life is something temporary. This life is something temporary. If you live in it and think that it's something that will continue, this is a satanic concept in our mind. Yes. Okay. I hope I answered most of the questions, and I hope that the sisters wouldn't be mad at me, and they fulfilled their inshallah desire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us of what we heard. And we are moving to the most difficult thing, which is acting and applying. It's easier to listen. Very easy, you are relaxing, you don't have any problem. But when you come into application and you apply this in our life, starts the problem that we'll confront. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us guidance and support and to help us, all of us, to become better Muslims and to raise our kids in better way, in an Islamic way, and to let us get the Islamic knowledge from true sources. And this, inshallah, will have great impact in our life. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Again, before I forget, I thank those who are in charge of this mosque who allowed us to make this session happen here and this day happen. And in particular, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the efforts of Brother Raihan and the other brothers who dedicated their time at the expense of their families and did even more than what I did, wallahi. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept them and forgive their sins and put them in paradise, inshallah, with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with all the people who attended this meeting. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.